Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
All right, we continue hanging out right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, broadcasting live in Tampa Radio Row. Our coverage presented by CBD American Shaman. Come on into your local Shaman store for a free sample of stress-sacking CBD. Everything is better with the feather. Joining us now, Mina Kimes from ESPN, NFL analyst, NFL Live, which is taking place live down in Tampa yesterday, today as well. She joins us here in the show. Mina, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good. It's getting warmer here in Tampa, so I'm great, actually.
Yes, it is, which is nice that it's getting a little warmer. We got here on Tuesday with a high of 58, and back in Kansas City, my wife sent me a photo of her car temperature that said 59. I'm like, oh, it's warmer in KC than Tampa. Glad I came here. That is awesome. But yes, it's heating up and getting ready for the Super Bowl in a couple of days as well. This seems like it's one of the more anticipated matchups that we've seen in the Super Bowl in a long time. Do you think it ranks up there with some of the more sort of build-up and pageantry and star power that we've seen in a Super Bowl?
Well, I'd say minus the pageantry because of how weird it is here.
Well, yeah, that's true. It's a good point.
The fact that we could potentially be seeing... Oh, can you hear me?
Yep, we got you now.
Got me?
Go right ahead.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yep, got you now.
I was saying, you know, from the football perspective, I think just the matchup of the greatest quarterback of all time versus the young quarterback who poses the greatest challenge to him for that title is fascinating. You have also potentially two of the best head coaches in NFL history, two of the best tight ends. So I think there's so many greatest or near greatest in this game that has people excited. It truly feels like we're seeing the two best possible offenses facing off.
Do you think the defenses will have an answer with that? Do you think, like, Tampa does the same thing they did the first go-around, or how much do you think they change up their strategy? Or is it just simply you dance with the one that brought you? This is what we do. This is what we're going to do.
I absolutely think they will not do the same thing they did. And if they do, poor Carlton Davis should just walk off the field at some point, because what they did with him in the last game, having him go one-on-one with Tyreek Hill, playing press man, a lot of single high, you just can't do any of that against Patrick Mahomes. Now, there are some things that will carry over. I think Tampa will continue to blitz at a much lower rate, which they did in Week 12. They didn't blitz Patrick very much, and I don't anticipate them blitzing a lot this time around. But the difference that works in their favor is with Vita Vea, their 350-pound nose tackle who moves like a defensive end, back in the mix, and JPP and Shaq Barrett playing the way they are. They've been so good with a standard rush that I think up front they can really count on those guys to win, even if they play more too deep and mix things up in the back end and just try to contain the Chiefs' skill players.
Do you think the one of the matchups that I'm looking at and watching is the secondary of the Chiefs versus the wide receivers of the Bucks? And
yeah,
So much about the Kelce and Tyreek Hill obviously is big names in this and big players that could make an impact and a difference. But Spagnuolo likes to use his secondary and just simply say, go guard the receivers, and we're going to worry about putting pressure different ways or stopping the run and leaving those guys one-on-one at times. He did that against Tampa the previous go-around. And so I think in Kansas City it's almost become too easy or too simplistic, or a given, I should say, that, oh, the secondary is going to be fine because they've been good all year. I think that's a low-key matchup that around KC, and certainly I'm a victim of it as well, or a perpetrator, that it's just like, okay, it's fine because the secondary has been good. I think that's a huge matchup here, because I think Spags is going to say, go guard those guys and we'll get to Brady other ways.
Yeah, 100. I mean, you're absolutely right. And look, statistically, the Chiefs' secondary matches up really nicely with the Bucks' wide receivers. They've been so good at limiting the deep play all year. Bashaud Breeland's like one of the more underrated names in football. He pretty much blanked Mike Evans last time these guys played. But Spags does leave them on a bit of an island because he sends all of those crazy blitzes. Though Brady has struggled against cover zero, not just against Kansas City, but he struggled against it all year. So I don't anticipate that changing too much. But there's a little bit of a gambling factor. But the reality is I think for Kansas City, I wouldn't worry. Like, look, Mike Evans, Brady might hit him on a 50-50 ball down the sideline, and you live with that. The real problem to me for the Chiefs isn't those wide receivers and the cornerbacks. It's Daniel Sorensen against name insert tight end, whether it's Gronkowski or Cameron Brate. I mean, that's where the Chiefs have struggled at times, defending tight ends, especially teams when they have multiple tight ends on the field. And the Bucs, you know, have several tight ends who can cause some problems. So I would watch out for that, especially given how aggressive they play up front.
Visiting with Mina Kimes from ESPN NFL analyst, NFL Live, that is broadcasting live down in Tampa both yesterday and today as well. One of the things and the factors that people have been talking about, Mina, is red zone. Okay, so the Bucs, you're not going to shut out the Chiefs. You're not going to win, you know, 10-0. It's not going to be 13-3 like Patriots, Rams a couple of years ago. But what do you do with the Chiefs when they get in the red zone? Against the Buccaneers the previous go-around, the Chiefs were 0-3 in the red zone in Week 12. Now, that included the Kelce-Philly special that resulted in him throwing it right at a defensive back in the end zone and not just running it in. But regardless, they were 0-3. But in the playoffs with Patrick Mahomes, Mina, Patrick Mahomes has led 30 drives in which it got into the red zone. They scored touchdowns on 25 of them. So whatever they are in the regular season, Andy Reid and that offense and Mahomes, they capitalize in the red zone. So I know the strategy is make them kick field goals, but that just hasn't been what defenses have been able to do against the Chiefs with Mahomes in the playoffs.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you brought up that Kelce throw. He's one of the greatest tight ends in NFL history, but we do not give him enough crap for how bad that throw was when you watch it. But,
Andy Reid did. Andy Reid said nope. Andy Reid said no wonder he was recruited as a quarterback but played tight end.
Never again. But I actually think that's a good example of some of the experimentation you saw out of Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy during the regular season. I mean, they had freaking Mahomes lined up out wide. You guys remember that on that play? And times, it's why when coming into the playoffs, people said, well, are the Chiefs, you know, they've been playing all these close games. Are they going to flip the switch? And I always felt like I can't really tell if they're trying or they're messing around. And I actually think that's a good example of that. But to your point about just the Bucs red zone, the first time these teams played, part of the biggest reason why some of those drives came up short wasn't coverage. It was pressure. It was JPP and Shaq Barrett affecting Patrick Mahomes on back-to-back downs. And that's going to be the same formula again. Now, the Chiefs have a lot of good counters for that rush, especially playing behind that, you know, makeshift offensive line using horizontal movement, jet sweeps. I think you might see more screens, for example. But that ball's going to have to come out hot in the red zone if they don't want a similar result.
They got to run at least one jet chip wasp, right, in this game?
I don't know. Andy said no special plays, which means there's definitely going to be special plays. So I'll be waiting.
Right.
One more thing I would add about red zone that I didn't mention, just thinking about Mahomes. And I said the ball's going to come out hot, but I also think he's going to come out. Wow, a seagull just flew up to my window. That's some local flavor. It is loud. Okay. It does not want me to reveal what I'm about to say, but I'm going to overcome it. Mahomes' legs are a big factor in this game. Now, they always are, of course, and, you know, it's a big part of the reason why you don't play man against Kansas City. But the Bucs' defense have been bad at defending scrambling quarterbacks all year, including quarterbacks who are much less mobile than Mahomes. So I would not be surprised if he runs in for a touchdown.
Two quick ones. Mina Kimes, our guest, we're doing asking everybody this scenario. A minute 45 to play in the game. You're at your own 20. You've got one timeout. You're down by four, so you need a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Who's leading your drive, Mina? Is it Tom Brady or is it Patrick Mahomes?
I'll go Mahomes. I actually think there's a good chance this Super Bowl could play out not too dissimilarly from last year.
All right, we'll see what ends up happening. And prediction, who do you think wins with the score, maybe?
Oh, I got the Chiefs, all that said. No question. 31-27.
31-27 Chiefs. Okay, we'll see what happens. Mina, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it so much. Enjoy the game coming up on Sunday.
You too, guys. Bye.
All right, there's Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, NFL Live, as she is now heading off to do some work with ESPN. So we had 10 minutes with her that she had an ESPN hit at about 11:15 or so. So she's getting ready to do that there. So we certainly appreciate her being able to talk with us for a little bit. Premier Mazda of Kansas City presents our coverage down at Radio Row. Premier Mazda of Kansas City, your local source for amazing deals on your favorite vehicles. Number one Mazda dealer in KC, right past State Line and 135th, or online at PremierMazdaKC.com. Matt Derrick coming up next. You know, this song we started playing almost a year ago when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and Matt Derrick was writing the book At Last, about 50 years in between winning a Super Bowl, and he joins us now. We're hanging out down in Tampa, live coverage from Radio Row, presented by CBD American Shaman. Come on into your local Shaman store for a free sample of stress-sacking CBD. Everything is better with the feather. Matt, welcome into the show, sir. At Last, it is the last day of the week heading into the weekend with the Super Bowl. So we're getting more and more excited. It is right around the corner to watch the Chiefs in the Super Bowl yet again. How you feeling, brother?
I'm feeling okay. I'm starting to wonder, I mean, does this mean we have to pick a new theme song after the game? Or, you know, what's your plan here? You know, we got to...
It depends on what book you write.
I was going to say, that's up to you, Matt.
Yeah, that's right. You're the one that wrote At Last, and so we played that song for you. You write another book? I'm not sure. Just make sure it isn't a bunch of curse words on the front.
Is there a song title called Run It Back? Somebody needs to do that.
There's got to be. I know there's the one that was created by the Chiefs fan that the Border Patrol is playing this morning that's titled Run It Back. So, you know, that song would certainly be available if you have a book called Run It Back that we could play.
Fight for your right
to
repeat.
See. Yes, that's true as well. We could play that one. Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest is our guest. Matt, we talked about in the first part of the show that yesterday, listening into some of the Zoom press conferences and hearing Tyreek Hill and Chris Jones and everybody talking, it's the last day of media availability, that I was confident going into the game, right? I've been talking about it all week, that I feel pretty confident about this. But hearing Chris Jones say he was offended when Brendan Daly complimented the scout team because he didn't want people getting pats on the back because they're trying to get ready for the Super Bowl, not tell us we're doing a good job, we're ready to play in the Super Bowl. All right, he was offended by that. And then Tyreek Hill saying that Patrick Mahomes is throwing dots in practice like he's never seen, and then rubbing his hands together like, I can't wait to get out there. I was already confident going into this game, Matt, but it went up another, you know, tenfold. What did you make from some of the comments yesterday from the Chiefs overall, but maybe specifically what we heard from those two guys that is just a glimpse behind the scenes of what it feels like, how dialed in this team is?
Yeah, and it's interesting that you point all that out, because I've been thinking along the same lines. You know, last year I was just blown away by how calm and confident that group seemed. I mean, there was no sense of tension I got at any point last year during all Super Bowl week. I mean, they were loose and confident to the point where I did wonder, I mean, are they too loose and confident? And clearly they weren't. I mean, and so they weren't fazed by the experience. Clearly they aren't now. But I think the things like you hear, and we've heard some things from other guys similar to even Frank Clark. And it's not necessarily about, you know, taking any slights or anything, and they're not looking for bulletin board material to artificially pump themselves up from the box. But this is just a team that's got an attitude that's, I think this is what they've been waiting for all year. And I think we've seen the same thing from them. I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, a lot of fun, a lot of confidence. I mean, you're seeing that. But at the same time, there's an edge to it. And I think that's exactly, you know, what this team needs to have.
And we can look back with hindsight and, you know, 2020 and have, you know, the benefit of knowledge that we see what took place this year. And in the middle of the season, you know, especially late when they were winning games by not enough points, apparently that's a stat, right? And so when that was happening, we were talking about, okay, what's going on with this team? Are they just not all as good as we think they are? Are they going through the motions at times? Are they sleepwalking? Are they bored? And with the power of hindsight, I think we can look back and say, I don't think it's being a homer or trying to create different excuses for the Chiefs playing close games to say there's probably a level of boredom. There was probably a level of there's one focus, and that is about the Super Bowl. And, yeah, you got to get through 17 weeks in the regular season. I think when we see what they did against the Bills, when we hear about this week getting ready for the Super Bowl, I don't think there's any question in my mind that at points of the season they were trying to just get through week by week and maybe trying to fight off a little boredom or complacency because they know the playoffs and the Super Bowl is really what this entire year is about.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that there's truth to the fact that we've seen the switch flip. I mean, I think they've done that. And I think that you're right. I mean, to a degree, I think the 16 games was just a journey to get to where they wanted to. It was just kind of the homework they had to get to before finals week. And now they're there. You know, and the thing is that, and we talked about this throughout the season too, looking at the scores, I mean, we can talk about, you know, this was a tough schedule and they handled it. But I also, you know, there were a lot of those games that we're talking about the Chiefs winning close games. And on Mondays, we were usually talking about the fact that, you know what, this was not a game that was one or two plays away from the Chiefs losing. It was one or two games, two plays away from the Chiefs winning by 14-plus. So, right, I mean, right. That's how I see a lot of this schedule, is that Chiefs were never in danger of, you know, being a 14-2 team that goes 10-6. I mean, this was a 14-2 team that could have gone 15-1 and maybe won a bunch of games by double digits, you know, had just a couple of things gone their way.
Visiting with Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest, we had Mark Schlereth on yesterday. I don't know if you were able to hear it. There was different things going on, obviously, while we were talking with him. But he had discussed on the interview we did with him, I asked him about how difficult it is to, you know, go back-to-back, because he did that with the Broncos. And I said, you know, and he brought it up on his own. It was unprompted. I just asked him just generically, you know, how tough is that? And he started talking, Matt, about that year with his teammates. They knew how good they were. Their mission was to win another one, and he specifically said they got bored throughout the season, that they were fighting, you know, not literally fighting, but you know, with the team of like, how do we, you know, stay focused and you know, stave off complacency. That he used the word boredom a couple of times in just me asking how tough it is to repeat. And I said, you know what, that's interesting, because we've sort of discussed and wondered if that's real. And he said, absolutely, absolutely. And his point was the Chiefs are better than what they showed late in the season. So it was interesting to hear from someone that actually went through it. And then I didn't have to prompt him and say, are they bored? He brought that up on his own.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of an odd thing to say. I mean, you wouldn't think that, you know, guys playing at this level and everything could get bored. But you know what? I mean, it's a job at the same time.
It's
and
weird.
Sometimes, you know,
absolutely.
Even when you're at the best, even when you're on the top level, you're going to get bored. I mean, especially if you're a team like this, and Schlereth, I think, hit, you know, the nail on the head. I mean, and it's what we were talking about earlier. There's only three games that matter to this team. I mean, and these are the three games that you're in the midst of right now. The first 16 were just what you got to get through and what you got to slog through. And I think it's just inevitable for some ennui to set in throughout that season, which
yeah.
is why I think that 14-2 stands out even more, because, you know, we've seen some teams that, you know, maybe have gone on Super Bowl runs, and, you know, that the Patriots have had some of these. They're not all, you know, 16-0 or 15-1. I mean, you're going to have some down, what you think are down seasons in there, and that's what Chiefs are going to have to fight going forward, because, you know, they're going to be competitive every single year, and every single year is going to be like that, that, you know, you're playing for January, you're not playing for September.
And I do want to point out, too, like, what he was saying was, like, it wasn't every single day, like, I'm just bored, I just don't want to be here. It was sort of like, he was pointing out in some games where they would take a lead and then you sort of back off a little bit. And I'm like, well, that's what the Chiefs did a lot. It was like, all right, now move on to the next week. Okay, we're done with this team in the third quarter. Now let's move on to next week. And you sort of ramp down a little bit. So, but it's not like, oh, they don't want to be out there at all. They're just going through the motions. No, it's not that. You love to play the game, but you know you're better than that team. And once you take a sizable enough lead, you may lose that edge of like, okay, this is what it took to get this lead. We got it. We're the better team. And human nature, when you're looking at something bigger, kicks in. Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest, 810WHB.com is our guest. You mentioned that so much of our conversation was, oh, this was a play or two away from the Chiefs losing, when in reality it was more a play or two away from the Chiefs blowing that team out. I've said the last couple of weeks that while people may be scared of Brady when if he has the ball last and there's that concern because it's Brady and he's the GOAT and he's done it in the Super Bowl before, I don't think Brady is going to get the ball late in the game with within a score where he's got the ball and it's like, uh-oh, defense needs to get a stop. Because the first go-around, Matt, the Chiefs won by three, but the second they got their second touchdown to Tyreek Hill and they were up 14-0, Tom Brady never touched the ball again with an opportunity to tie or take the lead the rest of that game, even in a three-point game. I feel like that's what we'll see on Sunday, to the point of, oh, no, what happens if Brady has the ball late? He'll need a touchdown and an onside kick and another score is what I think.
Yeah, I mean, if the Chiefs get the football and they're up by one with 6 minutes to play, they're gonna run 6 minutes off the clock. I mean, that's what this offense can and does. And Mahomes, we know, I mean, he's just shown this consistently. You know, his focus is just increases by magnifolds, you know, when it's close and it's late. I mean, that just seems to be what the guy does. So, you know, yeah, you know, the Chiefs, sometimes they miss connections. They're not always perfect. I mean, we've seen it. I mean,
sure.
Tyreek Hill drops a big ball that, you know, could go for a touchdown. It just goes through his hands. They don't do that in the fourth quarter. They don't do that late in the game. There's just something about this team that they just ratchet up just a notch. And that wasn't true. I mean, frankly, that wasn't necessarily true 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, it's something that I think that it specifically has developed with this team, in not just Mahomes, but the character of the players and the attitude of the people that they've brought in to surround him.
Well, I mean, Soren asked him the question about, you know, these former Bucs players talking about how they faced off against the greatest show on turf, that they were physical and they just hit them constantly and they brought sort of that attitude and that nasty feel and all of that stuff. And so Soren was like, you know, talking about how to be physical with you guys, you know, what's your response to that? And Mahomes was like, you know, maybe in 2018 that might have bothered us. So I thought it was interesting he mentioned that, you know, a couple of years ago, to your point, a couple of years ago, it might have been something to where if a team shows up and just wants to try to bully you and be the more physical team, but not going to be the case on Sunday. They've seen all the different ways that teams have tried to attack them. I thought it was interesting that Mahomes even brought it up and said maybe in 18 that might have got to us.
Yeah, and I think, it speaks to a little bit of just how the guys around him have grown. I mean, you know, Tyreek Hill's probably a great example. You know, in 18, the Patriots really just frustrated him. I mean, grabbed, pushed, did everything they could physically. And what has Tyreek Hill done, you know, in the 3 years since then? I mean, he's continued to build his body. I mean, that guy right now, you look at him in the offseason workout that he's done with Luther Glover, I mean, that guy's a rock. I mean, even more so than before. And I think he has even just, you know, worked on his mental toughness in the offseason too. I mean, and I think you could say the same thing about, you know, Travis Kelce. I mean, Travis Kelce at 31 would not be putting up the numbers that he is if he wasn't putting in a ridiculous amount of work in the offseason to work on his body and his mind, because players at his age, at his position, don't do what he's doing. And I think, like I said, I think that goes up and down the lineup, and it's the same thing is true on the defensive side, and that stuff feeds over too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Gronk gave credit, compliment to Travis Kelce too. It was like, I mean, he gets better every year. I mean, this dude's 31 and he's getting better. He's better than he was when he was 30, better than he was when he was 29. Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest, who gets better every day as well, is our guest. All right, so the offensive line, I'd been talking about under the assumption that they would start the game or go with the offensive line, the five guys up front that they ended the Bills game with. Adam Kaplan yesterday and again this morning, he's talking about that Rankin is going to start at right tackle and Wiley stays at right guard. What do you think happens? Do they go with Rankin? We know they like him. Do they go with Rankin at right tackle and leave Wiley alone, or finish the game or start the game and go with what they finished against the Bills?
No, the Chiefs have certainly tried to go out of their way to smokescreen us all week long because I know me and some other guys have been trying to, you know, sneak it out of anybody to tell us what they're going to do, and they definitely have been wanting to try and keep, at least they have that be one mystery that the Bucs have to worry about. I do. I think Wiley's going to be the guy. I mean, I
that right tackle?
Yeah. I think there's several different lineups that make sense, but, you know, to me, Wiley at right tackle with Newsky at right guard, it's the best combination of those two positions that I think you could have as far as just experience and where the guys are right now. So we'll see. I mean, like I said, there's several different combinations they could go with. And Andy Heck even threw out Yasir Durant and said, hey, that's still an option too. But I think that's the way that they will go. It seems to make the most sense. And obviously I think it gives them the most chemistry too.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that as we started the show that, you know, DeMarcus Robinson cleared from the COVID protocol in the close contact, and Daniel Kilgore will be able to be cleared tomorrow with another negative test. I said that I feel like Kilgore being cleared is more important than DeMarcus Robinson. Do you agree?
You know, I'd probably go the other way just because we still don't know how Sammy Watkins is. And if you didn't have Watkins and Robinson, then that's a really big blow. You know, Kilgore is going to see time if somebody gets hurt, and it's probably going to be Austin Ryder that would be the guy. So to me, yeah, I think Robinson's the guy that's most likely to have a big impact in this game. Nothing against Kilgore, but if the Chiefs have more injuries on that offensive line, I would just worry about that just being, you know, one piece too many that maybe they just can't overcome.
Yeah, and I should have offered the caveat that we talked about it, and I said, you know, if we think Sammy Watkins is going to play. So if we don't know about Sammy Watkins, then yes, I agree to Marcus Robinson. I'm guessing Sammy's going to play. He damn sure better if he wants to be back with the Chiefs next year, which I don't even – who knows if he's going to be. But I think he's going to play. And if he does, then I would go with Kilgore. And really with what you said there, one piece too far, next man up, that, you know, as thin as they are, somebody else goes down. I mean, now if Kilgore is not available and somebody's injured and you've already got Remmers and – Wiley and, you know, Wisniewski in the game, and maybe you can throw in Rankin, but you're starting to get limited there as to guys that would be available, especially on that interior. So whereas if Sammy plays and is okay, you've got Tyreek and you've got Kelsey and you got Sammy, you got Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle's been pretty good filling in. It's more of a just in case, an insurance policy. They're both going to play, right? I mean, Kilgore is going to get cleared tomorrow. I don't have any doubt about that. So they're both going to be available to be out there. Hopefully Kilgore does not play, but they'll both be available in that one, just as, you know, an either-or type deal as to what might be the more important player. Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest is our guest here in the zone. How do you think Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy will try to combat the fact that they do have a banged-up offensive line against that defensive line for the Bucs? Is it RPOs? Is it chipping? Is it you know, leaving a running back in? Is it Deion Yelder being in the game with two tight ends and 12 personnel from time to time? Like, what do you think they'll try to do against the Bucs front 4/7 with different guys in different positions that have been there all year?
Yeah, I mean, short answer is I think they're going to do what they do. I mean, I don't think it's really going to change a whole lot about what this offense tries to do. What I do think might be interesting is to see just how many RPOs they go to early. Because a lot of it's going to depend on what the Bucs decide. I mean, if the Bucs decide, hey, we're willing to let Mahomes take the 13-play, 80-yard drive and slowly, methodically march down the field rather than get the 67-yard touchdown strike, then, yeah, I mean, there's going to be places to run the football. And Mahomes has shown, you know, in the RPO game that, hey, if it's a six-man box, if it's light, and they're just daring the Chiefs to run the football – I think they're going to run the football, even with this offensive line, because, yeah, you know, this offensive line is not, has never been built to mano a mano, go out and just push people around. this offensive line is built to do what the Chiefs do, which is, you know, run the outside zone. It's to do things differently. It is. It's the jet sweeps. It's the end arounds. It's all of that. It's the play action. So, I mean, that's what I think they're going to do. I mean, and we've seen it, that if, you know, the Texans game's a great example. I think Buffalo is a good example. If you're going to dare the Chiefs to run the football, they'll do it, and they can. I mean, if you're just going to say, we're going to put six in the box, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Le'Veon Bell, Darrell Williams, they can run the football in those situations, even with this offensive line.
Yeah, and even if it looks like it's going to be handed off to a run, Dan Orlovsky had a really good illustration that he was doing the film work of, you know, three separate plays against the Bills that were the exact same formation and the exact same play. So three different times they ran the same formation, same play, and it was against three different defenses that the Bills put out there, and all three times Patrick Mahomes made the correct read and went to the right guy, and all three plays were successful. One of them was the early Tyreek Hill pass in the first quarter when he had to reach up a little bit for it over the middle. The other play, same formation, same play, was the Travis Kelce down the sideline when he then dove from like the 10-yard line. And the third time they ran it against a different defense when the Bills decided to play press and come up and not leave, you know, safeties back or anything, was the Tyreek Hill 72-yard reception when it was that quick little slant that he then busted out with. So all three different times, three different ways to do that. And by the way, Orlovsky even pointed out that one of those should have been a handoff. One of those, it was like, you know, you typically hand off here, but you can see that Mahomes is reading a different defensive lineman, and that guy beat his offensive lineman. He's not the read guy, but Mahomes sees that guy's getting beat and says, well, if I hand it off, even though the read guy is telling me to hand it off, it's going to get stopped here. No, I'm pulling it, and I'm going in a different route. And it was like that quick second. And to me, that's the difference. Like, we talk about Mahomes' arm talent and ability to escape and make crazy plays, throw across his body. Like, that's such an underrated part of his game, that how much time do you have to process that and then to pull the ball in an RPO and throw a 20-yard pass?
Yeah, and I had a chance to talk to him about absolutely that topic a few months ago. And, you know, and that was one area where he said that when he came into the league, you know, when he was in college, you know, just trying to figure out what coverage a team was in, you know, he was scanning the entire field, looking at all 11 guys, trying to figure it out. And, you know, and sometimes you'd get tricked. I mean, but that's what he had to kind of do on the fly. When he got here and started working with, you know, Alex Smith, Alex taught him how to identify one defender on the field and look at that guy. And, you know, and a lot of this goes into film work. I mean, this is that you've got to put your work in during the week in figuring out these teams that are tendencies and what they're going to do. But the ability to look at just one single defender on the field and know exactly how that defense is going to play you based on how that one defender moves. And it might be a different guy. It might be an entirely different person. But I think that just goes to absolutely the detail that goes into it and understanding, you know, how teams are going to attack you, understanding, you know, that sometimes they're going to try and fool you, because that's one thing I think that he's really done a good job with, was when teams have thrown him unscouted looks with things that they haven't done before, that he's been able to react to it. And those plays that you're talking about, those only happen because he does the work in the film room and he's dedicated himself to that. And those are plays that, frankly, he will tell you that in 2018 he wasn't making.
Yeah. All right, we are short on time, so quickly, what do you think happens in the game? How does it play out in a final score, if you've got one?
I think that even though I like these two defenses, I think the offenses are going to run up and down the field. I think the Chiefs could jump out to an early lead. Bucs will make it close. It'll be a fight all the way through, but I am going with the Chiefs in a track meet, 41-37.
41-37. Sounds like it'll be a fun one if it plays out like that. Matt, you're the man. I very much appreciate the time, sir, and enjoy the game on Sunday. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Take care, everybody.
Absolutely. There's Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest. We will take a timeout. We'll come back. We're going to talk with Mayor Quentin Lucas in the zone here. We will let you know that Premier Mazda of Kansas City is one of our fine sponsors of live coverage on at Radio Row, your local source for amazing deals on your favorite vehicles. Number one Mazda dealer in KC, right past State Line and 135th are online at Premier Mazda KC. I apologize. I'm looking at it right now. Mayor Q is going to be an hour from now. I apologize about that. We'll talk with Mayor Quentin Lucas at about 12:40. But next, we are scheduled to be joined by Donovan McNabb. Got my that would have been weird if I was going to talk to McNabb with some of the prep work I did for Mayor Q and vice versa. I think it would have been a weird interview. We'll talk with Donovan McNabb coming up next here in the Zone. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are hanging out at Radio Row in Tampa on a Friday, looking forward to the weekend, feeling good about the Super Bowl, certainly back-to-back Super Bowl trips for the Chiefs. We'll see if it's back-to-back victories. Joining us now, a man who played quarterback in the Super Bowl and played quarterback in the Super Bowl for Andy Reid. Donovan McNabb is our guest here in the Zone. Donovan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing just fine. As a quarterback, what do you think of this QB matchup that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks now of the GOAT versus the kid and Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I mean, I'm sure if I'm Patrick, I don't want to hear the kid. And I know for Tom, nobody wants to hear that they're old. But I think what you're seeing two dynamic quarterbacks who present something different each time they step out on the football field. Tom Brady's a guy that's been doing it over years, but he's continues to get better and wiser at the game, where he's starting to be a little bit smarter with the football. And I think for a lot of these young quarterbacks, they can learn from a guy like Tom, because Tom is a guy that it will be the face of the franchise for years if you follow suit and do the things that he's been doing. It's not enamoring people by your arm strength and your voice and things of that nature. It's just going out playing football and being real methodical with what you do out on the football field. Now, as far as Patrick is concerned, he's wowed you with a lot of different things that he's been able to do. If it's his arm strength, if it's the intelligence out on the football field, if it's with his energy, whatever it may be. So I think by the two of them playing in this particular game gives us all excitement no matter what. And we're all anxious to kind of watch this game being played.
What's the buildup like for the man who's the quarterback in a Super Bowl, where the banners and posters all over the city, it's Tom Brady, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Donovan McNabb and Tom Brady? Like, what's that like in the buildup when you feel like, you know, it's the most watched show of the entire year with the entire country and world, and you're one of the two people that has the most focus on him?
Well, you know what? It's the extension of Monday Night Football. You know, for most of the young guys that come into the NFL, you know, Monday Night Football is like the pinnacle, because they know everybody is watching. So I know that the Super Bowl has bigger, you know, kind of a magnitude of things that's carried with it. But also, you got to take into account, though, these guys have been playing in playoff play and conference championships. And it's just an opportunity to play another team from another division, another conference, and just kind of it's business as usual. Now, as far as the players are concerned, the game is played during the week. You're preparing yourself all throughout the week and the week before. So when you actually get to the game, once you get past the first 3 to 4 minutes of the game with all the flashing lights and all of this, all the hoopla, then it's just another football game.
Getting past the flashing lights and hoopla, I would guess sounds easier than it actually is.
True indeed. But, I mean, you know what the thing about it is, you've been watching it yourself.
Uh-huh.
And think back the years when you may have been 12 to 15 years old, and you're sitting there watching guys like Joe Montana or whatever it may be that's out there, and first kickoff, you see the flashing lights, and you're just like, oh, man, I know that's exciting. Or when they used to do the introduction, that was one you just visualize yourself being able to come out of that tunnel when they say your name. But at the end of it all, when you take that first snap, boom, it's time to play football.
Donovan McNabb is our guest. One of the things that we found out the last couple of years is how much the players love playing for Andy Reid. A year ago, it was all about wanting to win one for Andy. What was it like for you playing for Andy Reid, his first ever draft pick as a head coach, as Donovan McNabb? What was it like to be the quarterback, the signal caller for Andy Reid?
You know what? He's a guy that really slows the game down for you. You know, he prepares you in every way possible so that you would never be shocked with what you may be seeing. And then he allows you to just play football. And I think that's something that stands out amongst some of these other coaches when, you know, they come in and bring their offense in and this is the way we're going to run it and it's been successful with where I've come from. Yeah, but you have a different type of quarterback. So you need to build your offense around the talent that you have, first and foremost, at your quarterback position. Then what you have on the outside or behind the running back. And then you have to make it easier for your offensive lineman to execute it and to just go out and play football. And I think for Andy, Andy has been successful over time because of that. You know, being his first pick, you know, he kind of seen what we had at that particular time. Mm-hmm. And every draft and every free agency period, we were trying to build on that. And so I think what he did was over a decade in Philadelphia, he learned of what to do in Kansas City when he got Alex Smith over there and what he was trying to build at that particular point. So now when you have an opportunity to draft a Patrick Mahomes, you almost have people in place so that he can just, when he slides in, you may add one or two more pieces to the offense, and all of a sudden you have everything you need. And so I just think Andy has – he has kind of put out the blueprint of how to be successful over time in two different leagues and continue to build on that.
We had Steve Mariucci on last week, and we were joking with him, and he was talking about Andy Reid, and he's like, I don't even recognize the guy anymore. Like, all the stuff he's doing offensively, you playing with him, do you see the same offense out there, or is it like, who is this guy, and what all's going on?
Well, I see a little bit of what we did in the West Coast offense, but also, you got to understand, this is what makes Nick Saban the type of coach that he is. He's now started to buckle down and understand that the game has changed a little bit, and he brings an offensive coordinator that can kind of catch up to where the times are and be able to adjust to what other people are doing. And so Andy has done that. And we have to give a little bit of credit to Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy has done an excellent job over there at the offensive coordinator position of coming with these college type of offensive schemes that to make them productive on the NFL level. And when you have an arm talent like Patrick, you can draw up things where you think one or two people have the ball, and all of a sudden you sling it for 45, 50, and it's a big-time touchdown. And that's just being creative and staying in tune to where we are with the time of being able to run offensive sets.
Donovan McNabb is our guest here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Creating a scenario for you, down by four, a minute 45 to play, one timeout, ball at your own 20 in the Super Bowl. If you're the coach, who are you choosing to run that drive, to lead that your team on that drive, Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I'm going to go with Patrick. I'm going to go with Patrick just from what I've seen. I mean, not to take anything away from Tom, but Patrick has done this over the last 2 years. I mean, in the playoffs, they seemed like they always were down, and he would lure them back to win. And so I just think with Patrick right now, he's so confident in having the ball with 2 minutes to go in the game that he can drive down, and it could be one or two splash plays in that drive that will propel them to get in the end zone to the end.
Yeah. No, I mean, you are you're right in line with almost everybody has taken Patrick Mahomes. Only Keyshawn Johnson took Tom Brady. Everybody else has taken Patrick Mahomes. Donovan McNabb is our guest. Do you have a prediction for us, what you think will happen, and maybe a score if one pops in your mind?
You know, I'm looking more like 38-28, looking at that more of Kansas City coming out on top, I think it'll be one or two turnovers in this particular game for Kansas City that will get them kind of over the hump a little bit. And I think Patrick has to play at an elite level from what we've seen so far to for them to come out and establish a tempo early. But I'll tell you that the Kansas City Chiefs have to start out fast if he's either on offense, or they have to start it up fast on defense. So I'm finding some way to get to Tom Brady to force him to get that ball out of his hands quickly.
We'll see what happens coming up on Sunday. Donovan McNabb joining us here in the zone. Donovan, very much appreciate the time and the perspective of being the quarterback for an Andy Reid coach team and offense. And enjoy the game coming up on Sunday. We appreciate your time today.
Yes, I appreciate it. Good luck, and hope everybody's well prepared for this thing on the weekend, because I'm definitely excited for it.
Cannot wait for it, man. Thank you, Donovan.
All right, thank you.
All right, there's Donovan McNabb, former quarterback in the NFL. We know he played for Andy Reid in the Super Bowl and went up against Tom Brady as well. So we continue rolling along on this Friday edition of The Zone, heading up until 2 o'clock. We are heading into the weekend. Coverage on coverage on coverage on coverage. We're like the Chiefs secondary. We are blanketing this thing all over Tampa into the weekend. you've got 24 hours of pregame as well right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And if you've got a question as to what you're going to have this weekend or Sunday for the game, how about Johnny's Tavern? 11 locations for your big game needs all over KC, Lawrence, Topeka. If you're doing takeout, delivery, or going in to watch the big game, you can have Johnny's help you cheer on the Chiefs. Run it back with Johnny's Tavern. The first time I've been jealous about being down here in Tampa and not back at the station because Shane has been eating the entire show some Johnny's Tavern. So take it easy. Hey, take it easy, all right? Take it easy, roller coaster tycoon, with your Johnny's Tavern and your pizza and your goodness and your all different types of stuff, whatever. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue. I get to talk to McNabb. He gets to eat Johnny's Tavern. I feel like that's not an even exchange. You got the better end. More Zone right after this.